Well, it's nice to be back from vacation. Feels like the first real vacation I've had for quite a while. We went down to the Oregon coast and got to go body surfing, which I'd never done before, which is basically where you throw your body into the wave at its maximum point of force and try and ride the wave into shore, or as far into shore as you can. And it's really quite amazing, because you're being carried by the force of the ocean, and if you do it right and you get a really big wave, you really feel like you are not in control. Yeah. I mean, you're struggling to maintain some kind of minimal control and hopefully aim in the right direction and make sure that your bodyboard doesn't go underneath you and hit the sand but basically the wave controls you, which I was reminded of when I caught a wave which ran into a cross wave, and then it threw my board up, smashed me in the face, and tumbled me into the ocean. We also got a chance to go out and see the stars, in a way that you don't get to see them here in the city. We gazed up into the heavens and we saw Mars at one of its closest approaches in I think 200 years, really brilliant and bright and red. What really blew me away was looking at the Milky Way, which you don't get to see when you have the lights of the city obscuring it. And just looking up and realizing we're located here on the unfashionable end of the Orion arm of the Milky Way galaxy, and we in the northern hemisphere are looking out through what's left of the Milky Way into empty space. Except it's not empty; it's spangled with stars, and those clouds that you see that the Milky Way, those are millions of stars. And that's just the part that we are looking out of. If you go to the southern hemisphere, it's even more spectacular, because you're looking into the heart of the galaxy with millions and millions of stars, like water droplets that we see in the sky as clouds. You know, that many stars. And just thinking about the forces, you know, the very minimal force of the sea that I experienced, and the forces that are at play in the creation and the maintaining of this universe of which we play such a small part. It struck me as we are here thinking about the transfiguration of our Lord, the revealing of as much glory as his disciples could bear. We have no real understanding of the magnitude and the glory and the power of the God whom we worship. We get an understanding of Jesus, an understanding of God through Jesus, that is something that we can manage, something we can handle, something we can bear. And that's good, because God is love. This is his accommodation for us, his revelation of himself to us. But here, as the disciples go up with Jesus onto the mountain, and they see him, his face is shining like the sun, the brightest thing in the heavens that we can see. And his clothes were white as the light. And they had just a small glimpse of the creator and sustainer of the universe, who was standing there in front of them. The one who made and who sustains all of those stars in all of their orbits, around all of the black holes at the center of all of the galaxies in the entire universe, was standing there in front of them. And they saw his glory as far as they could bear it. This is the God whom we worship. And Peter, of course, blurts out, in his usual way, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build some tabernacles for you and Moses and Elijah. Because, Moses and Elijah weren't shining like the sun. and a voice from heaven calls out to correct Peter and says, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And it's that last bit that I want us to focus on this morning. Hear him. Peter, when he's relating this in his epistle, talks about how they beheld this glory and heard the voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then he goes on to elaborate on that, hear him. He says, And so we have the prophetic word confirmed or made sure, which you do well to heed, to listen to obey, as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. I think it's important that we understand who it is that we worship and adore so that we have a deeper appreciation for why it is that we need to hear him, that we need to listen to him, that we need to obey him. Because when we have the words of Christ, the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, God made flesh, we have the very words of our Creator and Sustainer. These words, these teachings, should have absolute authority in our life. Because our life comes from the very same lips that breathed and uttered these teachings. Authority is important because often we don't understand. Often our hearts rebel against the teachings. This person who just insulted me, I don't want to turn the other cheek. This person who just stole something from me, I don't want to give him my cloak also. I want to be the greatest. Oh, but I don't really want to be the servant or the slave of all. But this, even when we don't understand, how is this going to help? What is this going to do for me? We can entrust ourselves to these words, to these teachings. We can do them when we don't understand why it is that we're doing them or why we need to do them, because they are words uttered from the one who has authority over us. The one who made us, the one who gave us and gives us our life. These words are also the deepest truths that exist in this entire universe. They are deeply and utterly true because they are uttered by the one who is truth, the one by whom the worlds were made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If you want to know the truth of reality, if you want to know and really understand this universe in which we live, know the words of the one who created it. Know them. Memorize them. More than that, live them Etch them on your hearts. Put them on your walls. Live them in your daily life. Because these are the words that are ultimately true, that reveal to us the absolute real nature of things. Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it has no life in it. This is the ultimate way that the universe works. We have to be willing to give stuff up when we don't want to, because that is the deep truth. That's when God can give it back to us, give back to us what we really need. And finally, these words are, as Peter reminds us, a light in a dark place. We find ourselves groping in the darkness, not able to see, not able to understand, not able to perceive. But as we follow the teachings of Jesus, as they show us what, as we begin to see the world through them, they begin to show us what the world is. We begin to be able to see and to see clearly what this world is, how it is passing away. Like words written on the sand that the waves come and wash away. And we begin to see what it is that actually matters and that really lasts. And that is what Jesus kept talking about. How to love. How to be in relationship with one another. How to be at peace with one another and with God. These teachings of our Lord light up the darkness that is around us and show us the world as it really is, until, as Peter says, the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. There is a time coming that is already, but not yet, when these words will be written not merely on the page, but in our hearts. When these words become our ultimate and our only reality. When we are in the presence of Him whose face is brighter than the sun, and whose clothes are white as the light itself. That day is already here and not yet. We get glimpses, foretastes of it in the liturgy, out in nature, in relationship, in our experience of love. And we see that that alone endures. That alone is truly meaningful. That alone will last beyond the end of time. Our relationship with God and in God with one another. And this is the glory that is revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration. That the Creator of the universe, the Sustainer of all of heaven and earth and of all the worlds and all the stars, loved us so much as to become one of us. And revealed to his disciples his glory as far as they could bear it. He reveals that glory to us as we approach him, as we draw near to him, as we do the hard work of climbing the mountain with him. And then he sends us back down to go out, to heal, to cast out demons, and to love. And this is his glory. That self-emptying glory of the one who went to the cross for us. That absolute heart of love that is what beats at the center of and sustains and pumps out the lifeblood to the universe itself. God is love. And this is the glory that has been revealed to us in Christ and that he is revealing to the world in us. His glory, the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, now to ages of ages. Amen.